This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On 610 with Pendergast to rock the show.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty Show and OT Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T.
Not money bags today.
I wasn't going to say it. We will get to you in a bit. Well, you need to. I was asking for 70%. This week,
so I have not achieved that,
and no, I'm not adjusting it. He was gonna have to come through with a couple of 100s.
All right,
just like Mo Kier, we have to get to come
keep
through.
It 100.
Keep that thing 100. Yeah,
we keep it 100.
All right, we have the latest. It is 5 o'clock fire. The cow, if you are rolling with us, has been captured,
apprehended.
She is in a good. She's in a good spot. You missed it earlier. There was a cow at the rodeo that got loose that was seen running away from NRG, headed towards Old Spanish Trail. Clint said northbound. I'm not sure if that is actually
the case. I think Old Spanish Trail is northbound from
I think so. That might be the case, but they were able to she got away from a few people. One gentleman who I refuse to call a hero, just a fool, in my opinion, trying to stop her.
He was trying to be a hero.
He was trying to. You got to get out the way of that. What was he thinking? We were looking to try to get him on the air because that made my whole day. But outside of that, also, I haven't said this, wanted to say congratulations to the Houston Cougars. Last night, they won back-to-back Big 12 regular season championships. They send their seniors out for the second straight year, kicking Kansas's ass. Last year, they kicked it all the way up and down downtown Houston. Yesterday was a little tighter.
Ocho tried to tell you, man.
Ocho made some money. Ocho was very fortunate. For some reason, the Kansas Jayhawks men decided to play with some sort of energy and effort, which generally they don't do. But they still played the same dumb, low basketball, IQ basketball that they play every game out. But when you play hard, it showed to be more competitive.
Go Cougs!
They win by 6. That's right. I think they got a chance to beat Baylor to go 19-1 in the Big 12. 18 wins is the most wins ever in the Big 12. So shout out to Roberts and the rest of that crew over there that won last night and had a great senior night. For Kelvin Sampson and but the Rockets, they also played last night. We'll get past that. They play tonight on a second half of a back-to-back in Indiana to face the Pacers. The Pacers are a top four or five seed in the Eastern Conference. Pretty good team. And this should be a fun one. Last night, the Rockets had held just about everybody out. Alfred Shingun was out. Amen Thompson was out. Dylan Brooks was out. Fred Van Fleet was out. Tari Eason was out. And Steven Adams didn't play. They had tons of guys out of that game. Got a lot of action for Cam Whitmore and Reed Shepard, who played pretty well. Tonight, as of now, what I'm seeing, the only player that is ruled out is Fred Van Fleet. He has the ankle. He just came back. Has the ankle again, but Fred is the only one ruled out, the only one on the injury report right now, so he won't go. But everybody else will be able to go tonight. Again, as I said to you, listen, They are now only four games up for that sixth spot. They have now dropped to the five spot. We remember we were just talking about this team and just beaten Cleveland twice, beaten Boston, beaten OKC, and they were sitting in the two seed. We're getting closer and closer towards the end of the year, and they are in the five spot right now trying to hold off the Clippers and the Warriors. And really, man, to me, Clint, they just need to get into a groove like they were early in the year of playing consistent basketball, good winning basketball, and they've just been so up and down of late.
Well, they got to get guys healthy. I mean, at the end of the day, whether we're talking about Fred VanVleet, who's not on the floor, or we're talking about, you know, guys that are just banged up and it's night to night, and even when they do play, it's hit or miss. Like right now with Shingun's back, and this is about the second or third time throughout the year that he's had some issues. And I don't know how real it is this time. That's just the excuse they use for him to sit and get and recover last night. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've said it a million times, this basketball team has got they're a really good, deep, physical, defending team. That has a chance when they're whole. When they can rotate guys in there, when they've got all of their different options, and Ime Udoka has all the different options at his fingertips in terms of how he wants to deploy these guys on the offensive end of the floor, and they're all playing at a high level on the defensive end of the floor, they can compete. When you're down one or two guys, it is extremely difficult. And last night, as you mentioned, they were down four of those guys you mentioned. Five of those guys you mentioned are in either starting or heavy rotation, heavy minute guys. And so getting healthy is obviously the key down the stretch here. Man, I don't care what seed they end up in. I don't care where they end up. Just getting healthy and having a shot when it matters the most is what's important.
I know for me, I had a hard time getting over the fact that they punted on that game last night. Like they knew they had a back to back, and they decided to punt on, to me, with the tougher opponent to try to attack the Pacers coming off of a game, a day off. But we did see some young guys go. Were you able to get, I don't know, excited, whatever? Were you able to take some real positives moving forward from the guys who did play, who we haven't seen get in a lot, especially the young guys?
Yeah, I think the only ones that have a real shot at seeing time, like real minutes in important games and games that matter, is Reed Shepard, Jack Landale, and Jock Landale and
Cam
Whitmore. I think those three guys are the three that have a chance of really getting some run. And I mean, for me, I've been high on Whitmore since middle of last year, right? Like I don't understand. I guess I do understand now that I'm watching the Rockets more often, but it's hard for me to not want to see him on the floor more. But I understand they're deep. They got some guys.
Just if he can harness, like.
Yeah, but even if he can, is there room for him? The way they got to win with the physicality on the defensive end of the floor, the length that the guys, you know, that you need, that you have when he's not on the floor, is big in terms of their style of play. So how does – I don't know that Cam even fits in there. So I look at – I think Jock Landale is the one that's got a chance to help this team down the stretch.
Yeah, we'll see. They got – obviously, Shingun and Steven Adams. We'll see.
I mean, do you think he can? Can he play himself? Like Steven Adams has left a lot to be desired. I'll be honest. I'm not gonna act like I study Steven Adams, but when I see him on the floor, I'm a lot more confident in Jock than I am Steven.
Well, I mean, he's a veteran that's been around and a physical presence out there and playing a lot of playoff games, and obviously, like. And the games matter. Shingun's going to log a lot of minutes
anyway.
It's only a few minutes out there. So I think right now Udoka will trust
Steven Adams
more than he will trust
Big Jock.
Landale right now. Landale. Jock Landale. I can't even say it. Jock Landale more than he will trust him. Tonight, I don't know if you are you're going here, Tyler, but that over-under, that one going to be fun. Get your track shoes on. Because this is the Indiana Pacers who like to score under like 7-8 seconds. I mean, they are running and gunning and getting them up. They were the highest scoring team in basketball last year, and with Halliburton, they love to get it up and down. So this should, 232? That should be a I don't know if I would do that. You just don't know what kind of shooting the Rockets will put forth, but I think that is going to be a high-scoring game. So, big one tonight for the Rockets.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, there it is. Your final opportunity right now. Caller number three. Caller number three. 1, 2, 3. Caller number three. 713-572-4610. Caller number three wins a four-pack of journey tickets to, which is on March 14th, Friday, March 14th, to the Houston Rodeo Journey. Four-pack of tickets. Caller number three, 713-572-4610. The phone lines are open. Tyler will take care of you. Your chance to join Isaac, who won earlier today. Final opportunity of the day until Thursday at 6 a.m. Your chance to win four tickets to Journey. Caller number three, 713-572-4610. Tyler will take care of you.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, this is coming from Aaron Wilson reporting. The Texans have interest in bringing back defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins. He has a market around the NFL, so the Texans potentially would be competing. They tried to bring him in last year, just fell a little bit short of the Bengals' offer. He only played seven games. He had viral meningitis, and that kept him down. Through this report, Aaron Wilson reports that he is fully healthy from that now. But this is a guy that they know, 30 years old. He played for this team a couple of years ago. He had some injuries in that one, played 15 games, but there were some injuries from him a couple of years back. But he was able to get to the quarterback at times. He had six sacks from the interior, 3-1 game against Joe Burrow. Sheldon Rankins, we've talked about maybe the only spot on that defense outside of maybe safety that may need some help is that interior D-line. Your thoughts about potentially bringing him back?
Well, one, I think it's real. I remember having him maybe even twice on the post-game show a couple of years ago and just being really, really impressed with him. And you can see immediately that he's the kind of guy that at that point in time that Nick and D'Amico were making a priority, right? Now, I don't know if that's still the case when you've got, you know, a Will Anderson that's 2 years deep into the league and you've got some different leadership, but look, I think Sheldon Rankins fits the kind of player that they want, both physically on the field and, you know, mentally, emotionally, spiritually off the field. I think he's the kind of individual and the kind of player that D'Amico and company admire and ultimately respect. And so I think this has real legs. There's an opportunity here, especially, you know, D'Amico's on record of talking about wanting guys that he can rotate through, multiple guys that he can rotate through. You're going to need a couple of those because there's a couple of key guys from last year that are free agents. Sheldon Rankins would fit in nicely there.
Yeah, listen, if their thought is, all right, we're going to really build up big time on and put a lot of resources, real resources, like money, free agents, trades, high draft picks at the offensive line, which is the biggest priority, receiver, which is, I think, the second biggest priority, and they say, we're going to try to build very similar to what we did last year in the interior, where we have more bodies than to have a big-time player. Because, listen, I know I've said the cap isn't real, but, I mean, obviously I think you can go and get things done, but, you know, you can't have a high, you know, can't have a high price player at every single position. So if there is a thought of to offset, we're going to really push our big resources to those big priorities and then get solid players where we are just really solid that spot. I can understand that. For me, as I said earlier, I'd love it if they went out and got a guy like a Jonathan Allen who is on the trade block with Washington and somebody that can be, I think, a real big time force. But if you're going to tell me, hey man, we're thinking about throwing real big time resources at center and at guard and at wide receiver, all right, okay.
Yeah.
And then this is how you fill in around those other spots you made.
This is the one position, to your point, Ron, the defense, interior defensive line position. Yes, I'd love to see him go sign a top-of-the-market guy at every damn position. But this is the one position this year of need that I don't think is viewed as a gotta-have. Like, interior offensive line, wide receiver, gotta-have. You just flat out gotta have.
Yep.
If you're gonna play the style of football that you're gonna play with CJ Stroud taking snap, you just flat out gotta have. The interior defensive line is a need, and ultimately, if we're talking top end guys, it would be a luxury. So, the Sheldon Rankins range. Now, I think you need multiple Sheldon Rankins. Like you need that.
Yeah, yeah.
That 4-man rotation at your interior defensive line position
feels very Tim Settle like. Feels very
yeah.
Yeah.
Foley Fatakasi, Tim Settle. I mean, even Mario Edwards, the way he played when he was young. Like, you need, you know, four of those higher-level guys. The problem with the Texans in their defensive line was, from a health perspective, whether it was, you know, banned substance issues or if it was injury or whatever it may be, like, you ended up with guys that were 5 and 6 on your depth chart playing way too much when it mattered the most.
Yep, Tommy, what's his name?
Tojai.
Yeah, he was playing in the playoffs.
And then what's my man from Notre Dame?
Yeah, Kurt Heinisch.
Yeah, those two guys were seeing some pretty good minutes, I think, late in the season and even in the playoffs. And that just, you know, that's when you're up against teams that have their horses that are playing bulks of minutes in those situations, you're at a loss.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, news of the day. It's so funny. We were just talking about yesterday how this shift in running backs have changed. How the view of running backs in the game as being a position that wasn't as important has now shifted. And to that, Clint, Saquon Barkley, he has agreed to become the highest paid running back in NFL history. A 2-year, $41.2 million extension. As you remember, he just signed a big deal for $30-plus million last year, which was a big deal for running backs that we weren't seeing before. He sets the Eagles' single-season rushing record. They won a Super Bowl, and he was their best player. I think he finished third in the MVP voting. And he becomes the highest paid running back in the NFL all in 1 year, two contracts in that time frame. And he absolutely deserves it. And I wonder, as we talked about yesterday, is this going to be a trend to start paying guys, especially I used to mess with Tyler because of his zero exception to the rule. But you don't generally see guys, and he's got to be pushing 26, 27 years old right now. You don't generally see running backs get contracts like this at that age. And I wonder, is that something that's about to be a shift?
Yeah, look, I don't think we're going to see a major shift. I mean, we're talking about one of the best, most talented, most gifted running backs that the league's seen.
Oh, Lord, he's 28.
I mean, but look, you're talking about Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry. I mean, you're talking about some backs, like, just physically gifted in a way that not many backs that are currently playing the game are. And so I don't think there's going to be a major shift in the position. But I do think it's a major shift in how the top 3-4 guys in the NFL at any given time are going to be handled, whether it's Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, obviously Saquon Barkley this year. You know, your top 3-4, maybe even 5 running backs every year, I think teams are going to be more apt to pay them and pay them well. Oh, yeah, no, there's no doubt it's fair.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Fair. Like there's a, like Jahmyr Gibbs on his team, everything he does is special. And you could say there's not anybody else that's as important or as needed on their offense. But 2 or 3 years ago, Clint, he would have gotten paid far less than what St. Brown would get, or far less than a tight end would get.
Yep.
And I think now it's becoming fair. I think you're right. Like, I don't think, like, just Tony Pollard's about to start getting broke off, but the guys that should.
Yeah, that's the top guys. I think we're gonna see a big difference, and I think that difference comes in. Yeah, sure, it's gonna be several million more, but it's gonna be more about, man, they've had to beat down the door, man. They've just been beating on the door forever. And now I think teams are going to be a little more aggressive in signing them to keep them around or pursuing them if they don't have one. So Yeah, well, the truth of the matter is, I mean, Saquon Barkley's just absolutely filthy.
Yeah, yeah, deserves it all.
Good for
all
him. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Deserves every bit of it.
And hopefully the guys that deserve it come behind him and get their money too. Mike in Cypress, congratulations. He is our winner of the four-pack of tickets to see Journey coming up March 14th on Friday. Have fun, Mike, out there. Coming up. All right, there's another wide receiver who is on the free agent landscape. Somebody the Texans could make a move on. Some of you had issue with Deebo Samuel and weren't into that. Some of you weren't into Diggs. What about Davante Adams? Let's discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Word on the street. Jets, they're releasing Davante Adams. He is going to be a free agent. He is going to be with a new team next year. And when you have a guy who is he's borderline a Hall of Famer, a great player in this league that plays at one of the positions of need and priority for the Texans. And when you know that the Texans were one of two teams who were aggressively pursuing Deebo Samuel, who plays the same position, then I think the Davante Adams thing is at least something that is very, very possible to be on the table, at least discussed or talked about. And I think there's a lot of places to go here. I wonder for you, you were big on Deebo Samuel, and we talked about him, hadn't talked about Davante a lot. In terms of fit for the Texans, for you, who do you like Davante better than Deebo, as much as Deebo? What's your feelings between those two before we kind of move into this?
It's a different love for, 'cause
they're different players,
for the two guys. Yeah, I mean, look, I think when you look at Deebo Samuel, super complimentary. I think he would give you options. You got to be real creative with him. You can use him in so many different ways. He would help your run game and your pass game. He would help you with the pressures in terms of the screen game. A guy that a good, experienced, early to be experienced, but a good offensive play caller that's really creative, that knew what he was doing with a weapon like that, it would really turn me on for that guy to be in a Houston uniform. So I like the Deebo. I like adding Deebo because of how complimentary he would be. I'm concerned about Deebo because I don't know Nick Caley well enough to know whether he would be able to make all that happen, right? When I look at Davante Adams, I don't think he's a Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans guy. I think he's going to command $25 million a year plus. I think he's going to be a 2 or 3 year guy somewhere, and so I think that's going to push the Texans out of the mix. But if we're just talking football, right, I would love for the Texans to lean into C.J. Stroud as a pocket passing quarterback. Let's forget all the, which I don't think they're doing, by the way, is any kind of designed runs or taking his athletic ability into consideration when designing the offense, but really lean into him being a guy that is a ball placement specialist from the pocket, a pro style quarterback. You've already got Nico on one side. If you were to put Davante Adams on the other side, you would dare teams to take a safety off the roof and go single high safety and add a defender to the box, whether that's to pressure or it's to stop the run. You would dare them to do that. You'd have Nico Collins on one side, Davante Adams on the other side. These are two true outside receivers that you could just line up, stay stagnant, and run the route tree. These are two, I think, true man-beating wide receivers. I think they'd be hellacious to stop in the red zone if you've got more than one of them. One of them's tough to stop. If you got two of them, it'd be nasty. So, I think most importantly with Davante Adams, where Deebo Samuels would have been a real challenge for a guy that's never called plays, I think Davante Adams would be a very easy wide receiver to call plays for if you're Nick Caley. So, again, I don't think it's going to happen, But I would love for them to sign a guy like Davante Adams, and that would tell me that they're leaning into their quarterback strong suit as well as their offensive play caller's inexperience. I think that would be my excitement level there would be through the roof.
Yeah, obviously, when you just think about it, as you just broke it down on the field and everything, it would make, to me, a ton of sense. All right, that it would fit the bill of the second receiver that they need, and you go mm-hmm. into it and you're looking to be like, hey, that I like that. My thing is, you know, one, like, does Davante Adams come in here and potentially understand his role? Does he have to understand his role? Does he need to understand that probably each and every week the first priority in the passing game and game plans is probably get the ball over to Nico Collins? Is that something that he's good with or can deal with? Like you said, I think Debo probably would understand that. He's played in an offense yeah. where, like, sometimes he wasn't the first option. I don't think Davante has played in that.
Well, just to your point, like, I think with C.J. Stroud, your offense is going to be geared towards throwing the football enough to keep two wide receivers happy. I mean, whether it's Nico wanting more or Davante Adams wanting more or Debo Samuel wanting more or Stephon Diggs wanting more, I think C.J. Stroud is going to be, like, whatever offense they build around C.J. Stroud, I think they're going to throw it enough to where they can keep multiple guys happy.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, I think they can, right? We saw it with Tank and Nico a couple years ago. The only – And I would imagine that they could make this work. They would be able to make this mm-hmm. work if it happened. The only thing is, from year one, we felt it like pretty clear what it was like. Hey, you just play quarterback and throw the ball to the open man, and you throw it to whoever's open and all that. To last year, there was a wonder of, all right, do I need to get such and such involved? Do I need to get the ball to such and such? Do I got to get Tank some touches because he had touched the ball? Do I got to get Diggs and make sure Diggs is getting some targets? I would just – that's one thing I hope is avoidable from last year. To me, I do think that Davante Adams, I think there is an expectation for him to get a certain amount of targets.
Yeah.
Like you said, he may, but I think there is an expectation of that. And we have a young quarterback who I think potentially may have had some struggles with that yeah. last year with a – coordinator who has never called plays before.
Right.
That is that to me is just something. It would not stop me from doing it if you had a chance to do it, but it'd be something to really look at.
Well, the interesting thing here is, like, if you look at the Texans' issues as it pertains to being able, like, I don't know that Bobby Slowick ever had the ability for an extended period of time, like the whole time he was here, I don't know that he ever had the opportunity to really nail down, hey, we need to get this guy touches or that guy touches. I mean, whether you look at the wide receivers and how often they were injured, or you look at the offensive line problems, I think it was few and far between the chances that Bobby Slowick had to really dial up and get creative. Now, so I say that to say, I don't know that if he had the ability or not. I have no idea, right? I mean, but it doesn't, to me, I just look at C.J. Stroud and C.J. Stroud, the way they should be a top five team in terms of attempts per game.
Even with Nixon,
absolutely. He should catch three or four of them, by the way, a game. Like, they're like using him more in the pass game should be more of a reality. But, like, every year you've got teams that constantly play from behind, so the numbers, you know, the Matthew Stafford in Detroit, like, type situation where numbers are just they skyrocket because you're always playing
that
behind.
One year, Sam Howell threw a bunch.
Yeah,
he was behind.
Look at Joe Burrow this year. I mean, the team was awful. They were always in a competitive game, and he's trying to carry the offense. So I don't know what his final numbers were, but whatever they were, it was because there was no slowing down when you were trying to protect a lead or because you had a comfortable lead. They were always trying to play from behind. So just generally speaking, of the winning teams that are, let's say, playoff caliber teams, I would think that this is going to be a little more pass-oriented football team than a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's the Davante Adams latest. We'll see where he ends up. I do think the Texans are at least talking about it. And I think that's with all of the wide receivers on the market. All right. We'll continue here. Try to win you some money, man. We got to address best bets. That was rough last night. That was really, really rough last night. We got to figure something out. We'll continue coming up on the drive as we continue rolling through on a ticket winning Tuesday. That's coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Coming up a little bit behind us as we continue 6 o'clock, right after us Texans All Access. The Chronicles, Jonathan Alexander, will join the fellas to talk all the latest with the Texans. So that's coming up at 6 o'clock. And then Area 45, Bajani Creighton and Chris Santiago will take it from there, 7 to 11. Make sure you stay tuned live and local. Right after we get done, it continues, baby. And we'll get to T Mills' best bets as well. And we got to address this, Tyler. This was this is the worst I've ever seen.
It was not a profitable night
from you. I mean we're in the red. I mean, this is 1 for 5.
Let's just
be honest. The one was damn near due to a torn ACL from Kyrie Irving that allowed him to only play 9 minutes in a game, or he may have gone off.
I know.
And you would have gone 0 for 5.
Thank you for your sacrifice, Kyrie.
No, I don't think he's thinking. Yeah, Nico's damn sure not thinking about the sacrifice.
I don't care about that turd.
God. I mean, I'm really starting to feel bad for Nico as the days continue to go. I mean, what's next, man? Good God.
I hate starting a week like that, man.
No.
It's all uphill now. I got to get back in the green.
But you got you got to catch up.
And I will.
I was asking for 70%. I think I'm going to have to maybe do like I did with the Rockets, what I'm doing with the Rockets, and recalibrate.
I gave you 20%.
My expectation for the rest of the year and the rest of your week. 60. Can you climb out of this hole? Damn, Tyler. Can you please climb it? There are people who text in and depend on you.
I know it.
Ocho wouldn't even text you by name today by this.
Damn, Ocho.
Just put that
in. We'll get back on track here in a little bit. I promise you that.
Put words in your mouth, Ocho, but I just felt like it. See, it did. You want some money? Ocho won some money last night on U of H in Kansas.
Bet Kansas, huh?
And I told you I didn't feel good about that Rockets. I told you that. And you were all right. Till they just now. Granted, for you and in your defense, you didn't know that Ime Udoka was throwing in the towel and waving the white flag prior to the game.
Yeah, just calling it before the tip.
That's a tough. Like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like that one is one. I don't know how you do it, but very much like what happened with you, I feel like that one should be taken off the board. I think you should be given the option.
I don't know how Underdog does it, but when you have an entry and play, even if they play and like get injured early, like in the first quarter or something.
But that's with individual, right? They don't do that with team. They don't do it.
But I mean, there's clearly a way to do it. When a team you bet on rolls out literally one starter that they typically start, then. Like you should have the opportunity in the first quarter of the game to cancel your bet,
and then they tell that starter, "Hey man, coming out in the third quarter, man, chill out, man, take the night off."
Well, the crazy thing is that my kind of luck is I'd be the one that would have called and been like, "No, I want it back. I canceled the bet," and then they win convincingly.
It was 112-106 with a little over eight in the fourth. I know. Tyler's like, yeah, I don't know.
Got a chance.
Yeah.
Not so much.
I told you, I don't know how I felt about that Hornets one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got away.
That DeRozan bet was a bad beat because that was over 21.5 points. Of course, he just needed one more bucket. He finished with 20.
Yeah. Well,
just needed a freaking
layup. Got both
of us
on that one, cuz.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that, Dirty.
Not Kyrie Irving, though. Kyrie Irving won you for it.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Well, maybe just bet against Nico. Maybe they... Maybe that's where the luck is. Just bet against anything poor happening to the Mavericks or that would be bad to him. Like, hey, maybe Luka goes for 70 tonight. If Luka goes for 50 tonight, would they be doing a Nico?
What a turd of a GM they got up there in Dallas.
I mentioned that man in that eulogy, man. That's where I said, well, this is had to have reached Jack Easterby territory.
What an idiot.
Clint, before we get to Tyler's trying to get back on track with best bets, we just talked about Davante Adams. We heard about Deebo Samuel. How much do you think? Because, again, when you look at the Texans, hey, man, hey, back-to-back division winners, they are in probably a division where they're going to win again. The odds are they're going to be in the playoffs. It's a great city and place to live in, especially with an athlete with money. Go to that rodeo and you'll see. Go to any big event like that, you feel like that, you'll see. A lot of these guys come and stay. There's a lot. It's a positive thing for him. Do you think Nick Caley is something that is something that the Texans are having to overcome with some of these free agents, especially when it gets down to I'm picking this team over another team? Is that something? Because the Deebo Samuel thing, I know that tipped off in your head to where, hey, a lot of the stuff is even, except there's a big difference probably between the history of Cliff Kingsbury as an OC, at least, and creative play caller compared to the unknown.
I think it's as real gets. I think when you narrow this thing down to, okay, let's say playoff caliber teams, because look, Deebo Samuel, Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, these guys aren't going. Last year it was the running backs, right? I mean, Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley and Joe Mixon and Diggs, like these guys aren't going to play for teams and going to choose to play for teams that don't give it a real chance to at least get to the playoffs and get in the tournament, right? At the very least. So
they're just about a money grab.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, how many of those guys, like Devontae's not about a money grab, no, right? I mean, most of these guys have already made a boatload of money, and the reason that they're playing is to win a championship, right? Nobody wants to go play in a dysfunctional ass organization anywhere. That's just an awful life beyond winning and losing. It's an awful life, right? Like, we're talking about guys that have choices, right? And so when you narrow this thing down to teams that we're talking about, the final eight, final 12 teams in the league, let's call it that, right? 12 teams in the league. And now, okay, who's wide receiver needy? Okay, now you're down to six or seven teams. And who has the cap space to pay it and the want? Who's in the game? Like, I just think when you start narrowing this thing down, the Texans offense is not going to be a place where guys want to come to play that have choices. Like, if they have other choices to go, to play in the playoffs with a playoff caliber team. Like, I don't know that you, CJ Stroud can carry, a little bit of that, but he can't carry it all himself. I mean, Nick Caley is an offensive coordinator. Nobody knows what the hell the offense is even going to look like.
God bless, brother.
Like, you got to just take Nick Caserio's word for it. If you've never met Nick Caserio and you're a player and you walk in and sit down and you're talking to Nick Caserio about the staff that he just built and what Nick, I mean, how far does Nick, hey, Nick Caley, man, he is highly sought after in NFL circles. Okay. You know, what's his offense look like?
I think right now we're
in the process of building that. And then you go to Washington, it's Cliff Kingsbury, and go, here's Jaden Daniels, here's what we did last year. Here's what I did with Kyler Murray. Both of those guys were in the running for one of them was a rookie of the year. Hell, both of them were rookie of the year, weren't they? Did Kyler win rookie of the year?
I think so.
But you know, both of them were in the MVP conversation. They didn't win it, but they were in the MVP conversation. So I just think that those are real conversations that guys like Deebo and Davante and Cooper Kupp and all these guys that are proven winners and have pelts on the wall. Yeah, I think that's real conversations that are had. I think the Texans they right now they don't have a lot to offer
them. I think right now the real hope is that guys want to come play with CJ, which I think there is something to that. Right now, more than the OC, just because of the unknown. But
yeah, I think they do. But I think there's just as many that want to play with Jaden Daniels. I think there's
just watched one.
Yeah, I mean, you look around the league. I think there's just as many that want to play with playoff caliber quarterbacks. So,
but like for me, it's like, all right, hey, if you're heading up going head up with, like, the Steelers. That's another team that was in on the word with the Deebo Samuel. Oh, hell, maybe you got a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, we'll see if that is something that the overall portion of the offense outside of C.J. Stroud, if that is something that is a potential thing they have to overcome right now until people get a more understanding of what their offense is going to be. All right, Tyler, let's get back on track. What do you got on here? Let's hear T. Mill's best bet.
Yeah, as I often tell y'all, scared money don't make money. Last night sucked.
Sure didn't last night.
But we get back on track tonight. I feel good about it. Five more for you. Five NBA bets around the NBA this evening. First two against the spread. Suns plus +3. They'll be at home taking on the Clippers. Next, I got the hometown team. I got the Rockets plus +4.5 tonight at the Pacers. As Ron's been telling you, only player right now for the Rockets for sure not going to be in this one is Van Vliet. Then I got an over for you. It's a very low number. This might be my favorite one. I feel pretty good about it. Raptors at Magic, over 209 points tonight. Over 209. And then two player props, just like yesterday. No blown ACLs to win this time, please. Giannis, the Greek freak.
Please, I don't think the NBA can handle one of these guys.
The Greek freak, as the Bucks are going to be taking on the Hawks. I have him under 30.5 points tonight. And then the turd himself, always chewing that mouth guard, Steph Curry. I got him over 4.5 rebounds as the Warriors travel to New York to take on the Knicks. Those are your five NBA best bets on a Tuesday. Tell me you like something, please.
First off, if one of these guys has an injury, we are leading the show with this tomorrow. I clearly like, and I want this cut up. Like,
curse.
That would
Milner
be.
Curse.
I love the Steph Curry one, as them and the Knicks both shoot a lot of threes. That's long rebounds. I like the thought of that with him. And look, I like the Rockets tonight. They frustrated me, but this should be an up and down game, and I think they'll get enough stops. 4.5. I like that. I like that one.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I like those two. Giannis and the Hawks. That's a bad matchup for the Hawks. I don't know who they're going to have, but 30.5 is a big number. Hawks been playing a little bit better. The game winner they had last night against Memphis. We'll see. So
just don't think about SGA dropping 50 on the Rockets' head last night.
I like your little Curry wager. I like your little Curry.
I do too. Yeah, 4.5. Them and the Knicks, long rebounds.
Mm-hmm. You want me to throw some cash on it for you?
No, I'm good.
Oh, hell no.
All right.
Out of them damn turkey legs. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job as always. Shout out to the cow. She made it home safely. I hope she gets what she's looking for. Coming up behind us.
Herschel.
Big Hersch. Herschel Savage. Coming. Some of my porn watchers may know who that is. Coming up next, Texans All Access. Then... and then Area 45 following that. I am Ron the Show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. When someone else instead of me. News in Houston, we have
I just saw your freaking tweet.
We have a cow that has escaped at the rodeo, and it was last seen running away from NRG Stadium. George OSD.
Last spotted on Old Spanish Trail.
He's running away from NRG.
We got what an APB on a cow, folks.
He's dipped. Ladies and gentlemen, last seen running. We've got Dirty Red the cow. Last seen running.
Somebody stop
Look
that
out,
man.
Here comes-